Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today we're going to be doing our fourth part in a four-part series that we have entitled Objections to Salvation Answered. Today we're going to be covering objections numbers 36 through 44. The 36th objection to salvation that is put forth by some people is that they are self-righteous. And the Bible answer to that particular belief about salvation is contained in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, and Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14 reads as follows. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift his eyes up into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then we have Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we have Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which states this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now those that are self-righteous usually are very religious, as was the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. One of the most difficult individuals to deal with about salvation is that one unsaved religious zealot found in many of our fundamentalist churches who have been scrubbed clean on the outside, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones. They are whited sepulchres. The paintbrush that has been used to whitewash them with is that of strict church standards and religious works that are vainly brushed upon unsaved sinners. What you end up with is a herd of unsaved goats that fight the pastor every step of the way. Many independent Baptist churches have been guilty of trying to clean the fish before the Holy Ghost catches them. Many of our unsaved so-called converts are convinced by the devil that their religion will get them into heaven. The strongest condemnation against unsaved religious zealots came from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he stated the following in Matthew chapter 23, verses 15 through 28. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereupon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now note from Matthew chapter 23 verse 15 that we just read that not only are the self-righteous Pharisees children of hell, but their unsaved proselytes are made twofold more children of hell than themselves. That is why it is much easier to lead an unsaved sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ who has never been part of any church. They have not become immune or resistant to the gospel because they have not been inoculated with religion or a false gospel. Note that the Lord Jesus Christ told the religionists that they put the cart before the horse when they tried to clean up the outside of the man before the inside of the man was clean. That inward man can only be cleaned by God the Holy Ghost. When that inward man is cleaned up, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized that it would show up on the outside of the man. Folks, that is true repentance. We believe that church standards, holiness, and sanctification are required of Christians, but they cannot be substituted for salvation. That is self-righteousness, folks. Repentance is both a gift and a work of God the Holy Ghost, who manifests his presence in the believer through the believer's works. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, repentance is given by the Lord Jesus Christ to Israel. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, repentance is granted unto the Gentiles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, God is said to be prepared to give repentance to those who deny the truth. By definition, a gift is something that is given or granted. So folks, as a word of warning to you, your salvation is not about self-righteousness. The best of your works is as filthy rags. Then objection number 37 is that sincerity is all that matters. And of course, the Bible answer to that is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, John 14, 6, and John 1 verse 12. Proverbs 14, 12 states this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then in John 14, verse 6, we have this: Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then in John chapter 1, verse 12, we have this: but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Folks, there are so many false religions in the world today. I do not know how many times I have heard heretics and apostates say that all God is looking for is a sincere belief. That's heresy, folks. The question is, what are they believing? A dedicated Satanist or Luciferian sincerely believes that what he or she is doing is right. Rabid Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims sincerely believe that their religion will get them into heaven. Most of the religionists in the world today are sincerely wrong and will end up in the eternally burning fires of hell because they did not sincerely believe the biblical gospel. The Bible requires sincere belief, but that sincere belief must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Sincere religion will damn billions of its practitioners to hell. As a reminder, the devils sincerely believe and trembled, and continue to tremble, folks, but their eternal abode will be in the lake of fire. Our next objection to salvation, number 38, is the idea of spiritism. And the Bible answer to that is Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, Revelation 21, 8, and Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Now, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21 states the following. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 21, verse 8 states this: But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, we have this: And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cast him off from among his people. Now, remember, we're talking about spiritism, and that's playing around with the different spirits that are out there. There's a lot of unclean spirits and familiar spirits out there. And a lot of people latch onto those and think that those will give them salvation. Many folks believe that they will end up in heaven because they are spiritual. The problem with them being spiritual is that they have the wrong spirit, and that spirit is the spirit of Antichrist. This is such a broad-ranging topic that it would take a huge volume just to deal with the basic ramifications of it. The New Age movement is spiritually rotten to its very core. Our churches and public schools are chock full of New Agers. We have Baptist churches that are practicing and promoting yoga, which is pure Hinduism. The spiritist movement includes psychologists, psychiatrists, evolutionists, New Agers, spiritual mediums, fortune tellers, palm readers, Harry Potterites, witchcraft, wizardry, Satanists, Luciferians, Theosophists, yoga, Mormon temple rites, Satanists within the Roman Catholic Curia, Muslims, apostate and heretical Christians, and so forth. Make no mistake about it, all of those just identified are very spiritual, very ungodly, and very, very unsaved. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. When you deal with any of these folks, you are dealing with the spirit of Satan, who is the promoter of all false religions and the spirits associated with them. These spirits manifested themselves throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were sent by Satan to resist the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 116 references in 105 verses to the devil or his devils in the King James Bible. It is a topic that most Baptists and fundamentalists avoid. If you're going to have an effective soul-winning ministry, you're going to have to be prepared to deal with them. According to the Lord Jesus Christ, these kind will only come out by prayer and fasting. And we see that documented in Matthew chapter 17, verses 14 through 21, and Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. And it is written in those two locations this way. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and often the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And folks, that is almost a totally neglected doctrine in any church. I don't care how fundamental that they claim to be. They do not advocate and practice prayer and fasting. Now on to Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. Verse 20, And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now, as I've already said, many Baptists and fundamentalists refuse to deal with the issue of devil possession as it relates to soul winning. It is the greatest challenge we face as soul winners. Like it or not, if a person is unsaved, they are of their father, the devil. Given the right circumstances, they will do the work of the devil too. Our society is consumed with doctrines and works of devils, his devils, and unclean spirits. Notice the unchecked proliferation of television and movie shows, secular music, and contemporary Christian music promoting the works and doctrines of devils. Over the last 40-plus years, there has been an endless parade of satanic television shows and satanic movies coming from the Hollywood cesspool, promoting spiritism and the paranormal. We also have documented cases of devil-possessed children walking up walls backwards. I heard a series of lessons prepared by Pastor Charles Lawson of Temple Baptist Church in Knoxville that documented issues concerning children walking up walls backwards. Our next subject we're going to deal with is the objection where the individual states that there's too many hypocrites in the church. And of course, the Bible answer is Matthew 23, verse 10, Romans chapter 14, verse 12, Romans chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, Colossians 3, verses 23 to 25, John 21, verses 22. Now here's what Matthew chapter 23, verse 10 says. Neither be called you masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Then in Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And folks, that includes anybody that you call a hypocrite or anybody that actually is a hypocrite. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says this, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's a question, folks. Then we have this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And then we have John chapter 21 through 21 verse 22, which states this, Jesus saith unto him, if I will but he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, all of those verses deal with people trying to hold other people responsible for the same, very same wrongs and evils that they are doing. When a person uses the excuse that there's too many hypocrites in the church, agree with them. Agree with a person when they make the statement that there are too many hypocrites in the church, because folks, that is a fact. If there is one hypocrite in church, in a church, that is too many hypocrites. There are 20 different verses in the New Testament that deal with hypocrites. Tell them that the strongest rebuke in the New Testament came when the Lord Jesus Christ was rebuking the Pharisees for being hypocrites. And folks, we'd remind you that was back in Matthew chapter 23, where he was dealing with the Pharisees in there, and he called out many woes upon them. God does not like hypocrites, and he will deal with them in his own time. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. God will deal with hypocrisy, but it would be a shame for anyone to go to hell blaming some Christians' hypocrisy. There are at least 13 verses in the Bible that deal with the idea that God is not a respecter of persons. These are in Leviticus 19, verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, Deuteronomy 16, verse 19, 2 Samuel 14, verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 17, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 21, Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, Colossians 3, verse 25, James 2, verse 1, James 2, verse 9, and 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Now, here's what Colossians 3, 25 says, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. I would encourage you to go and read each and every one of the scriptures that I just called out. Even though it is a detestable sin, saved folks will not go to hell for their hypocrisy. However, unsaved folk who use a Christian's hypocrisy as an excuse for not getting saved will go to hell. Why would you let someone else's hypocrisy send you to hell? Even though I believe that Christians should be held to a higher standard than lost folks, I believe that lost folks are guilty of being hypocrites themselves when they use a Christian's hypocrisy as an excuse not to get saved. Why do I believe that, folks? I believe that because when the unsaved do that, they are holding the Christian to a higher standard than they hold themselves to. We as Christians should guard our testimonies so that it cannot be said of us by the unsaved that we are hypocrites. We are not sinless and perfect, but we are saved. Our lives and our testimonies should reflect that. If you're a soul winner, folks, please, please don't be a hypocrite. And then we come now to objection number 40, which is too much to give up. And of course, the Bible answer to that is in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, Matthew 6, verse 33, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Those verses read as follows. Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37 states this: "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew chapter 6, verse 33: "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Then we have 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Verse 15: "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, these folks that say they have too much to give up are very closely akin to those who are not willing to give up their sin. And we dealt with that particular issue in item number 34 earlier, I think in part 3 of this series. Many people sell their souls to the devil in pursuit of the treasures of this world. We can work all of our lives to amass great fortunes that we will not be able to take to hell with us. Many people trade their worldly fortunes for an eternity in hell. 1 second in hell is not worth all the riches in the world. God is not opposed to us having worldly possessions, but we should seek the heavenly treasures of the kingdom of God first, and God will bless us with many of the things of the world also. Now, this is a good place to apply the teaching of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. And those verses read as follows. Verse 6: "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Now, this is an application here to both the unsaved and the saved. If you're an unsaved rich person, do not allow your riches to drown you in destruction and perdition. That destruction and perdition ends in a place called hell. If you're a saved person, do not allow any riches that you have to be a hindrance to the ministry that God has called you to. So we got to be very, very careful with how we handle the things that we possess, because they can be a hindrance. And in fact, there are a number of situations in the Bible where those riches ended up with individuals going to hell. Now, next up is number 41 in our series, and it states, you'll hear people say that they're trying to go to heaven. And of course, the answer to that one is John 14 verse 6, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, and Galatians 2, 16. John 14, 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 state the following, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we have Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And this whole idea of trying to go to heaven, folks, is yet another works-based plan of salvation that depends on the efforts of man to get someone into heaven. All of our efforts to get into heaven are at best vanity, folks. In item number 44, we will deal with works will take me to heaven. And it deals with the whole corrupt concept of works-based salvation. Then we have those that when we're dealing with them about their salvation, they'll say that they'll get saved when God wants me saved. He will let me know. And of course, the Bible answer to that is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Now, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says this, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says, Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 state this, The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. Folks, when dealing with people and they give you this excuse for not getting saved, you should tell them that the reason you are talking to them is that God is trying to let them know today that he wants them to be saved today, that today is the accepted time for salvation. God says in Genesis 6, verse 3, that his spirit will not always strive with men. That means that there will come a time when God quits dealing with men about their salvation and will turn them over to a reprobate mind. Folks, today there's no better day and no better hour, no better minute to get saved than right now. Don't put it off, folks, because you're not guaranteed another breath. And folks, the Bible has this to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And of course, a reprobate is someone that once God turns them over to a reprobate mind, they cannot be saved. There comes a time when you have rejected God time after time after time that it hardens you beyond the point of being able to be saved. At that particular point in time, God has turned you over to a reprobate mind. God wants you to get saved today when he's dealing with you about your salvation, not when you are getting ready to walk through death's door. Today is the accepted day. Item number 43. You can hear people say this, where I spend eternity is up to God. The Bible answer to that is John 1 verse 12, Joshua chapter 24 verse 15, and Proverbs 14 verse 12. And we've read this verse several times now. John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then we have Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then we have Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12, which we've read a number of times already. Also, verse 12 says this, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That is a fact, folks. Where you will spend eternity is up to God. God makes his decision on where you will spend your eternity based upon your decision to either receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. That option is entirely up to you. All those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in heaven. All those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. Even if you do nothing to actively reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will spend an eternity in hell. There is no neutral ground in this decision of decisions. The Holy Ghost had this to say in John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, a warning, if you take no action to believe, then you choose condemnation to eternal damnation. And then, finally, in this series, we will close out dealing with those that believe that works will take them to heaven. And of course, the Bible answer to that is in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Titus 3, verse 5, and Galatians 2, verse 16. And we have read these verses over and over again in this particular series, folks. Works is not going to get it done for you. So we're going to go and read them again. Repetition is a good thing, folks. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 state this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we have Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Folks, while good works are commendable, and any attempt to use them to get into heaven is an attempt to set aside the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Salvation has never been by works. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of the good works that lost men and women do will burn up in hell in the lake of fire. In John 14:6, which has been really a theme verse of this entire series, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot go to the Father, which is in heaven, through your good works. You can only go through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only door into heaven. That's John chapter 10, verse 9. In the parade of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it uses the phrase by faith 15 different times, but the phrase by works never appears in Hebrews chapter 11. There are at least 12 passages of scripture in the New Testament that specifically state that salvation is not by works. These passages include Romans chapter 3, verses 27-28, Romans chapter 4, verses 1-6, Romans chapter 9, verses 30-32, Romans 11, verse 5, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3, 1-11, Ephesians 2, 8-10, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, Titus 3, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8-10, Hebrews 6:1, and Hebrews 9:14. And we're going to read all of those because I want to drive home to you that you cannot work your way into heaven. Romans chapter 3, verse 27-28. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans chapter 4, verses 1-6. What say we then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Next up, we got Romans chapter 9, verses 30-32. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness, but attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Then we have Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Even so, then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Salvation is by grace, not by works, folks. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ephesians 2, verses 8-10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8-10. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Next up we have Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Next up we have Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, those 12 passages that I just read to you should settle the issue for those who are depending on their works to get them into heaven. The greatest weapon that Satan has in his arsenal that drives people into hell is the belief in works-based religion. And I would tell you, folks, that most of the plans of salvation that are preached in most of America's apostate churches are works-based salvations, and they will not get you into heaven. The only thing that is going to get you into heaven is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the repentance that is granted by God the Holy Ghost following you putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't care how good you are or how many works you do. God is just not going to accept your works when he sent his son to the cross to do every work that was required to buy your salvation. You cannot work for your salvation. You cannot pay for it because Jesus paid it all. That old hymn that said that Jesus paid it all is indeed the truth. He paid for it. You don't have to work for it. Now, I want to thank you for joining us in this four-part series on objections to salvation answered. And I would encourage you to go back and look at them. And also, I would tell you that we have the document upon which we base this particular series. We have uploaded it to our website, and the title of that document is Objections to Salvation Answered. And our website, again, is earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. Thank you for joining us.